You know, they say camp meeting starts tonight, but I think it's already started this morning. Amen. And Pastor Denise was doing a great job up here. I'm so glad to have, I got all of my family here this morning. And I praise the Lord for that. Now, you won't see Pastor Denise and some of the rest of them during the week because they've been down working with the youth. And we got other things to do. And so you may be, they're at camp meeting. They're just not here in the main service, okay? Hallelujah. Thank God. How many of you just have come in for camp meeting already? Oh, good, good, good. You know, title of my message this morning is, Can God Get You Out of Zigzag? Many people don't recognize today is a significant point. You know, we've been given today to do something that will make a difference in our future. Sometimes people don't think about the significance of today. They're too busy remembering the past, or they're waiting for a better tomorrow. Most people, or a lot of people, let me say it that way, are trying to live with just things today. They're trying to live with their sickness and their agony of disease, the pressure of not having enough, the pain of rejection and betrayal, the bitter taste of unfairness and defeat. Everybody is dealing with something. But I want to tell you that God wants to help you with your situation. I want you to get this. What you let God do today will determine where you will be tomorrow. What you let God do today will determine what you will have tomorrow. Will you continue to endure your situation, or will you let God do something about it? One day, King David found himself in a terrible situation. In 1 Samuel 30, beginning with verse 1, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made raid into the Negev and Ziklag, and they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. David's two wives in a home from Jezreel, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David now is in great danger because all the men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in his Lord. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring me the ephod." So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I chase after the band of raiders? Will I catch them?" And the Lord told him, "Yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that's been taken from you." Here we see David at one of the lowest points in his life. The enemy had come into the town of Ziklag, where him and his men lived in exile because he was running from King Saul, and the Philistines had taken over that part of the land, and he was living there. And actually, they had gone, these people, David and his men had gone to fight with the Philistines against their own people because Saul was chasing David. And as they got there, the rest of the Philistines said, "No, we don't want you. You might turn on us in the middle of the battle and start fighting for your brothers." And so they sent them back. And that's when they came back to Ziklag, and they found the city destroyed. They had lost everything. Now even his own men were talking about stoning him. And David Ziklag represented a number of things. It represented a place of despair and discouragement. It represented a place of depression and hopelessness. It represented a place of loss and defeat. The rest of the story is that one day God helped David get out of Ziklag and move into a victorious future. Have you ever been to Ziklag in your life? We've all been there at some time in our life. Everybody has. And some of you may be there right now. Unfortunately, some people continue to live in Ziklag. They live in what happened in the past. They live in depression of never recovering anything they've lost. They become bitter and blame other people for what's happened to them. They no longer believe they can ever have anything. You may be at Ziklag right now, but you don't have to live there. God helped David out of his Ziklag, and God will bring you out of your Ziklag also. Now let's look at how David got out of Ziklag. David found strength in the Lord, according to verse 6 here in Samuel 30. And when David turned to the Lord, he gave him strength. When he turned to the Lord, he saw the promises of God. And he had the Spirit of the Lord ministering to him. David got past the despair and the hopelessness that had grabbed a hold of him. One translation says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. The first step, the victory, is found in dealing with your own thinking. If you're thinking loser thoughts, you'll never win. If your mind is thinking and telling you it's all over, it will be. Do you realize your mind is the first battleground that you have to conquer before you can receive anything, even from God? You have to believe you can before you can. Today, you may be in Ziklag, but it's time. It's time. It's time to lift your eyes to the Lord. It's time to receive His strength. It's time to grab a hold of His promises. It's time to lift your eyes to God and shift your eyes from your Ziklag to your victory. Somebody said, well, I'm too far gone. Let me tell you what, nobody's ever too far down that God can't reach down and lift them out of their Ziklag. God's arm is not short. And let me tell you what, there'll be Ziklags come in everybody's life, but you don't have to live there. You can go with the strength and the promises of God and rise above Ziklag. David, he turned to his God, and God got him out of Ziklag. David refused to give in. David ran to the Lord, and he became his strong tower. He looked for the Lord to give him protection and to keep him. David got past his Ziklag. Are you going to? Now, if you'll notice on down in verses 7 and 8, he said, you know, to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I chase after the band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You'll surely recover everything that was taken. Now here, God is telling him what to do when he prayed. Now somebody said, well, what is the ephod? Well, that was something that the priest wore, and it symbolized a desire to seek God's will. Not through guesswork, but through divine revelation and mediated through the priest. And, you know, that comes from, you can go and Google that and find it out. Craig says he's a Googleologist. Well, you can be too. Anybody can be. You don't even have to go to school to be. All you got to do is punch some buttons and know how to type. God always knows what to do when you're in your Ziklag, just like David was. We see some David was under the plan of God. He was in the old covenant. David had been anointed king by Samuel. And yet here he was finding himself in a place of despair, finding himself in a place of hopelessness, finding everything that he had was gone. But let me tell you what, nothing has ever been so bad. There has never been a zigzag that is so bad that God can't get you out of it. There's always a way out. Quit thinking it's over and begin to think there is a way out. I can get out of this situation. There's always a road to victory. And that road to victory is put by putting God first place in your life and everything that you do. We must, in every situation, be quick to turn to the Lord. Sometimes we come to the place, and I've heard people say, you know, they're having trouble, and finally they say, well, it finally come to the place that I got to pray. Well, that should have been the first thing you did. And then somebody said, well, I guess, you know, man, I guess we better pray. And somebody said, well, has it come to that situation? It's always a good time to go to God. I don't care what it is. I go to God and ask for parking places. Somebody said, well, that's sort of menial. Well, hey, let me tell you what. The Bible tells me that God wants to take care of me in every part of my life. And part of my life sometimes is needing to get a quick parking place so I can take care of what I need to do and get back to doing something else that God's got me doing. Come on now. You know, I get in the car to drive on the road. I always plead the 91st Psalm. I never shut my eyes in sleep any night without pleading the 91st Psalm over myself, my family, and my family. And I call every one of them's name. All of my Lynette and all of my kids and their husbands and wives, and all of my grandkids and my great-grandkids. I call their name personally. And I say, I plead the 91st Psalm over them. No harm shall come near them. Let me tell you what, it's time. If you want to walk with God in the fullness of Him, you got to put Him in every part of your life all of the time. You got to have the Word of God coming out of your mouth in every situation. I don't care what you're facing. Listen, you may think that we don't face stuff. Listen, we face a lot of stuff that some of you would say, I don't know how you do it. In fact, I've had some ministers say to me, how do you do it? I say, I'll tell you how I do it. I do it in the strength of God. I can't do it in my own self. I can't pull my own self out of a zigzag. But I tell you what, I can do it through the power and the strength of God. I can overcome anything that comes my way. And you can do the same thing. God is still doing it. And just like the song said, He'll do it again. And He'll do it again, and He'll do it again, and He'll do it again, and He'll do it the next time. There is never a time that He will not come to you and lift you up and put your feet on solid rock. There's not a time that He won't lift you out of your zigzag and give you joy, and you can dance and shout and know that the power of God is there for you. It's your turn to get out of your zigzag. Let me tell you something. Make it a habit of putting God first in everything that you do. When people would ask my dad, what are we going to do? What can I do? And he would look at them and he'd say, what does the Word say? As a kid growing up, we'd get in a problem. And I'd say, Dad, you know, I'm 14, 15. I understand stuff. I said, what are we going to do? Hey, son, we're going to act like the Word of God is true. That's what we're going to do. Let me tell you what, the Word of God, in the Word of God, you'll find out what God wants you to do, and you'll find out what you should do. One time, the last church my dad pastored before he went out and never pastored again in 49. One of the deacons is having a deacon's meeting, and he is saying, "Oh, Brother Hagin, man, and all of this mess, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about it?" And the board was all talking, all the guys were talking. Dad just sat there and looked at them. Finally, one of them turned to him and said, "Brother Hagin, what are we going to do?" And Dad said, "I thought you never would ask." And he replied, "I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to act like the Word of God is true. That's what we're going to do." And all of them got a look of relief on their face and said, "Oh, sure, that's what we need to do." After they had been discussing this for 30 minutes, they finally decided, "Oh, that's what we need to do." Let me tell you what, that's what you need to decide the very first minute that the zigzag comes into your life. We need to realize that there is a promise for every zigzag that we come upon. There is a promise for everything. When you are quick to call on God for help, let me tell you something. The power of God will come in and take over. God will tell you everything if you'll just ask. If you'll just ask. That the Word of God tells us that. I don't know why we don't do it. He said, "Ask and you shall receive." Hello. You know, we need to get ourselves to a position that we tune out every other voice. We tune out everything. Everything, and quit looking at this and looking at that for help, and looking here and looking there. It's great. Sometimes you can find that in the natural. But let me tell you what, if you'll shut all of that out, get your mind quiet, and then begin to hear the voice of the Lord. Somebody said, "Well, how do you hear the voice of the Lord?" Let me tell you what, you may not hear a loud voice, but let me tell you what, all of a sudden, answers will begin to come up to you because you quiet your mind, and your spirit then can begin to talk to your mind and give you the answer that you need for your situation. Sometimes we don't ever get quiet enough. Come on now. Don't look. It's great to jump and shout. We need that. But there is a time, especially if you're in a zigzag situation, when you need to just get quiet and say, "All right, Lord, what I need to do." Many of you parents have told your kids, "Be quiet and listen to what I'm saying." Anybody ever done that? Anybody ever heard that? Somebody tell you that? Let me tell you what. God is not going to come down and knock you down and say, "All right, boy, get up and do this," or, "Lady, get up and do this." He's going to wait for you to ask him and then for you to listen and do what he said. Hello. He knows every action that needs to be done. He knows every move that you need to make. Now, let me tell you what. Let's look at this for something. I'm going to go back and pick up on that. You know, sometimes God moves through us to deliver us. Remember? He moved through David to kill the giant. But at other times, God does it himself. He opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel. See, we got to remember that sometimes he just gives us the strength and the power to do it. And other times he takes care of the situation himself. Come on now. So I said, "I never thought of that." Well, it's about time you think that way. Do you realize that sometimes when you're asking God to help you out of your zigzag, somebody else will come along and begin to talk to you and give you the answers that you need, but you reject it because, well, that couldn't be from God. Well, let me tell you what. If they're talking to you and it's about a situation that you're in at the moment, they may be telling you about what they've done. It may be a testimony, and God's trying to get you the answer. You know, one time we had a boy, and he had been praying for his tuition to go to school. Go here, right over to the missions office. And so they sent him a note and called and told him, come by the missions office. And he went, and they told him, well, your tuition has been paid. And he said, well, who paid it? Did my parents pay it? And they said, yeah. They called and said, ask if you needed some help. And we told him, yes. He said, I refuse it. He said, I was praying for God to give it to me and not my parents. And they told him, did your parents even know about it? Evidently they didn't, or they wouldn't call us and ask us about it. Well, no, I hadn't told anybody. Well, then why are you rejecting what God has given you? Now, my point is that sometimes God is trying to give us something, and because it didn't come the way we thought it should, we reject it. And that would have got you out of your zigzag if you'd have just listened. Oh, man, that's tough. You know, now after he went to God, you see, he was under the old covenant. He didn't have the Spirit within. He had the Spirit upon, because he was anointed king. The Spirit was upon the prophet, priest, and the king. And if you notice, they were always going, they had to go to the prophet or they had to go to the priest to ask about different things. And it, just like it said, the priest was the mediator between man and God. But see, we have the Spirit within, so the Holy Spirit can minister to us as we go to God. Now, the Lord told him. Go after him. You'll surely recover everything that was taken. Now look at this. He was there. And it says, so David and his 600 men set out. Now I want you to notice something. Let's just read this. I'm going to read. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to now. 1 Samuel 30:16. They found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder they had taken from the Philistines in the land of Judah. David and his men rushed in among them, slaughtered them throughout the night and the entire next day until evening, and none of the Amalekites escaped except 400 young men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken. He rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought back everything. Now, David and his men set out. They didn't sit around and try to devise some kind of attack mode. They didn't say, well, now listen, let's see. Well, let's go this way. Let's do this. No. They just got up and went. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we get an answer from God, and instead of just getting up and taking off, we try to figure it out. My dad one time said to me, he said, son, and when you get the answer from God, don't sit there and try to figure out how you're going to do it. Start going, and God will show you how to do it. That's what they did. They went down there and they found them and they took care of the situation. Let me tell you, see, when they left Ziklag, the place of ruin and defeat, they left despair and hopelessness. And when they got out of their Ziklag, you got to get up and go. You got to go to God. And then you got to do what he tells you to do. You know, verse 16 and 17, there it said they went out there and found the enemy wasn't even looking for anybody to come after them. They didn't even have any lookouts posted. And you know, if you ever been in the military, you never set up an encampment that you don't put post sentries out and around. Hello, but they do it. They thought they had it made. But let me tell you what. The devil always thinks he has it made, but he doesn't. If you'll get up and go after him, you can defeat him every time, just like they defeated those people. You see, it didn't matter that David and his men were outnumbered. They had the word of the Lord. You got the word of the Lord. He said he'd do it again. You got the spirit inside of you. God is with you. God was with him. And God is more than any zigzag you'll ever face. No matter how much the enemy has taken, God will help you get it back. In verses 18 and 19, it says that he got everything back. Nothing was missing, large or small. David brought everything, and his men brought everything back. It's time for you to rise up and get out of your zigzag. It's time to rise up to victory. It's time to get your things back. This is not the time to be passive and say, oh, what am I going to do? This is the time to rise up in the authority of Jesus' name and take back what the enemy has stolen from you. We used to sing a song about go to the enemy's camp. Well, that's what they did. They went to the enemy's camp and they took it back. And that song says, go to the enemy's camp and take it back. Christ has obtained the victory for you already. All you've got to do is get up and take it for yourself. You've been in the trap long enough. You've been doing without long enough in your zigzag. It's time for you to rise up from the ruins of zigzag and jump into the river of victory and peace and begin to enjoy the good life. It's time to recover everything that's been lost. It's time to get your stuff back in the name of Jesus. It's time to receive strength in the name of Jesus. It's time to ask God in the name of Jesus, what do I do now? He'll tell you, then you go do it. It's time that you conquer the enemy instead of the enemy conquering you. It's time that you begin to use the name of Jesus and get you out of your zigzag. It's time to realize that there is true life and victory after zigzag. My question to you now, will you receive it today? Will you take hold of what God is saying? Let me tell you what. David was under the old covenant. He was in God's favor, the same as you are under the new covenant, born again. But let me tell you what, you may be facing a zigzag. Or you may be in the zigzag, and you may not be in it yet, but you're facing it. Let me tell you what: if you're in that, I'm not talking about people that are not born again. I'm talking about people that are Christians. We all face stuff. David, he was under the covenant, just like we are under the covenant. But let me tell you what: he faced a problem. If you are facing or in a zigzag or facing a zigzag, I want you to get on your feet and get down here to the front right now and get your deliverance right now. Come on, if you're there, hey, don't sit there like bumps on the log. Move. You got to move when God is moving or it goes by. This doesn't say you're not a Christian. David was under the covenant. You're under the covenant. But he faced a zigzag. But God helped him. I'm not going to pray for him. Don't line them up. Just say they're all going to come down here together. They're going to get it theirself. I don't need them lined up. Get on down here. I said I don't need them lined up. Listen to me. Thank you, Jesus. Come on now. Come on now. If you're in the balcony, get on down here. You want to get out of your zigzag? You don't want to go through your zigzag. You may be facing it. Get down here now. This is your time. Everybody else stand up. How many of you that are out there have been in a zigzag before? You're in that congregation. You've been in a zigzag before. Get on down here, people. Move on in here. Come on. Don't stand in a line back there. I told you. Get in here. Get in here. Come on. Get up here. Get against everything. Come on. They can get over to that side. It's all right. Come on, get in down here. Get in close. Get on. I'm waiting for everybody that wants to get out of Ziklag. Hallelujah. Move in close. Now, I want all of you that have gotten out of Ziklag. You've been there. I want you to come down behind them and form a wall behind them and pray over them. You that are standing here, I want you to begin to call out to God and say, God, I'm facing my Ziklag. You can call the name of it, whatever it is. I don't know what the name of it is. And I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming out of my Ziklag. Hey, you people behind them, you begin to pray for them. This is your time. This is your time to get out of your situation. It's time for you to get out of your Ziklag. Yes. The victory is coming. The victory is here. Your victory is here. Hey, let the Spirit of God come on you. Begin to, if you've been received the Holy Spirit, begin to speak in tongues. Begin to pray in the Spirit over your situation. It shall be, even as you have been told, it shall be. Even as you follow me, it shall be. As you do what your spirit is telling you to do, it shall be, it shall be, it shall be, it shall be. Receive it now. There the anointing is there. It's blessing you. It's coming upon you. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and praise God. Lift your hands and give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Give Him praise. Hakapara. Yandolo shili me. Gondolo la basete. Hallelujah. Let's sing something as you return to your seats. Don't go back to your Ziklag. Come out of it and stay out of it. Let's sing something. Come on.
I got victory. It's all over me. I got victory. I got victory. It's all over me. I got victory.
I got the victory.
I got victory. It's all over me. I got victory.
I don't know Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. But you can know Him and get out of that Ziklag. Or you may say, I know what it is to serve Him, but I turned my back and got on the wrong road and I need to rededicate my life to God. Or you might say, I'm born of the Spirit, but I've never been filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. If that's you in this room right now, I want you to step out of that seat and get down here to the front and get a hold to God. Come on, right now, if that's you. I'm just going to wait for a minute or two. If you need Jesus, you need to rededicate your life, or you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, get down here now. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to wait a minute. If you're going to move, I'm not going to beg you. You can stay in your Ziklag of sin if you want to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I don't see anybody coming. Hey, let's sing that song, I Went to the Enemy's Camp. You know it? Anthony probably does, singing.
Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Took back
what he stole from me.
David and his men did. You read it. They went to the enemy's camp and they took back. They took back. Hey, they left Ziklag and went to the enemy's camp and took back everything that got stolen from them. That's what you did this morning. Don't go back there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, praise God. What's next? Oh, connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them back there to receive a special gift. If you're looking for a church home, what do we say? Church, welcome home. You found it. Pastoral staff, go to the doors. We'll be there to shake hands with you as you leave tonight, 6 o'clock. Kim ain't supposed to start, but I can tell you right now it started this morning right here. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. They're going to sing a song. Give me a chance to get to the door to shake hands with people. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless. Don't forget, you don't have to live at Ziklag.
Well, I went to the enemy.